Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Joe Beninati. You're listening to NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face Off podcast. Here he is. Here's your host, J.J. Regan.
Thank you, Joe. Welcome into another edition, a very special edition of the NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face-Off podcast. The Eastern Conference Champion Stanley Cup Preview edition of the Capitals Face-Off podcast. Who thought we would ever be talking about that? I am, of course, your host, the Capitals correspondent, J.J. Regan. With me today, he's the Capitals insider. He's the Goofy to my Mickey Mouse. He is Tark El-Bashir. Tark?
I'm just shaking my head. I just got off a plane from Tampa.
That always works well.
I'm too tired to argue.
Shaking your head silently always works well on the podcast.
It was lame.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, they finally did it. The Capitals defeated the Buffalo Sabres in Game 6, as Joe, as you know, hit the overtime winner past Dominik Hasek and... Oh, wait, excuse me. Those are my notes from the last conference championship. It happens so often. It's so easy to get confused.
You couldn't write back then.
What we will talk about today, obviously, we will wrap up the Caps series with the Tampa Bay Lightning and look ahead to the Stanley Cup final against the Vegas Golden Knights. For just the second time in franchise history, the Capitals are the Eastern Conference champions and will play for the Stanley Cup. They defeated the Tampa Bay Lightning in 7 games, and for once, there was no drama, no bad luck, no bad history. Ovechkin scored 62 seconds in, and the Caps never looked back. Tark, big picture view, how did the Capitals ultimately beat the Lightning?
Braden Holtby. Very good defensive structure. They finally got the bounces. All of the above. Repeat. You know, there were times during Game 7 where I was sitting on press row next to Joe B. and Alan May and Rob Carlin, and there were things that were happening on the ice that always happened against the Capitals, and they were finally happening for the Capitals.
Yep.
I'm talking about that puck that was sitting a foot from the goal line. How did that puck not go in? How did Brooks Orpik get back and get his stick?
Yanni Gourde, right?
Gourde. How did that not go in? The puck that slithered through Braden Holtby's pads and he lost for us. How did that not go? I mean, how do these things – these are the things that used to – the puck that deflected off of Lars Eller and then hit the post. Last year that goes in. This year it hits the post and it goes harmlessly off the glass. So – these are the kinds of things that have to happen in order to win a Stanley Cup. You have to get the calls. You got to stay healthy. You got to get some puck luck. You got to have the hot goaltender. Your best players have to be your best players. Your role players have to step up. In previous years, the Capitals would have 2 of the 5 things happening at the same time.
Right.
The Penguins would always have 5 things going at the same time. Or the Blackhawks had 5 things, 5 of 5. The right. Capitals never had all of the components that are necessary to win a Stanley Cup going at the same time. But right now they do, and that's why I'm freaking out. Because because I have been watching this team since circa 1982. I'd be old enough then to kind of understand fanhood and you know, I was playing hockey by that point, I'd imagine. Yeah. So I would say 82, 83, somewhere around there, somewhere around when the Orioles won the World Series is when I started paying attention to sports. And this is the first time where I actually feel they have a chance to hoist the Stanley Cup. Because back in 98, was working for the New York Times back then. I was covering the series, but I knew Sergei Fedorov and company were going to house the Capitals. Everyone knew that.
Everyone knew.
I was like, it's awesome that the Capitals got this far. This is really, really cool. But the Prince of Wales is as far as...
Yeah, you knew that's where it ended.
That's the last trophy you're getting. But right now, I feel like they have a legitimate chance of having a parade down Constitution Avenue, something this city so much deserves. And these players who have worked so hard for so many years and, you know, fruitlessly deserve. And Ted Leonsis, who's been a very good owner, he deserves it. Everyone deserves to finally have a championship. But you know what? It's still far. I mean, it seems like four wins. It's right there. It's not really right there. It's far.
Yep.
They have to go to the desert and beat a really, really good Vegas team at least once out there to start this series to have a chance. And it's gonna be a battle.
One thing that struck me, Tarek, was how dominant the Capitals were 5-on-5. I did not expect that to happen against Tampa Bay. And I picked the Capitals to win the series, but I did not expect them to be as dominant as they were. Steven Stamkos had 0 5-on-5 points. In 7 games, he had 0 5-on-5 points.
I had the Caps beating the Lightning in 7 in overtime. I had no idea Braden Holtby was going to pitch back-to-back shutouts.
That Andre Vasilevsky became the story. He did not play well game 1 and game 2, and then he was phenomenal game 3, game 4, game 5. And then Braden Holtby came back and matched him save for save. And he became the story in the last 2 games. That was incredible to see.
After Alex Ovechkin's knuckle puck went in with, what, 1 and 2 into the game?
Yep.
The body language of Vasilevsky told me all that I need to know. He just kind of stood there almost in stunned disbelief and kind of looked up a little bit. And it was just like, really? Is this really how this night is going to go?
Yep.
And yeah. That's actually what's going to happen to you, bud.
How good did you feel for Andrei Burakovsky?
Tell you a funny story, really funny story. So we all know he has an upper body injury, and we can probably know where it is at this point. And after the game, he's walking down the hallway and he raises his hand to give me a high five, and I hit him a really hard high five. And I was like, "Oh!" And he goes, "It's my other hand. I'm good." But for a second, I was like, "Oh no!"
Yeah, you know, one thing I can't claim. I can't claim that I noticed this first. I think it was Darren Dreger who first noticed it. Whenever Andrei Burakovsky or Nicholas Backstrom go down the line when they get a goal or an assist, if they're on the wrong side, they turn so that they're using the opposite hand, the fist bump, everybody down the line. You know, when they score, they do the fist bumps down the line.
Of course, of course.
And they turn and they do the opposite hand so that they're not fist bumping on the wrong hand, but they're injured, you know, sure. Upper body.
Sure. I mean, look, after he scored 2 goals last night, Burakovsky is mostly fine. There are still some times where you can tell that when he's got one hand on the stick that he's not really battling as hard.
Right.
But
what
and Nick Backstrom, I mean, look, he's still banged up, but good enough.
What an incredible story for Andrei Burakovsky. Had 0 points.
Was scratched 2 games earlier.
Was scratched game 5. Had 0 points in the postseason coming into game 7.
I hate to bring player salaries into this. But you know what? He earned all of his $3 million in 1 game last night. And if you don't think that someone who writes checks around there didn't look around and go, you know what? That was money well spent.
Absolutely. He's a player who gets a lot of grief, so it was good to see him tally a couple goals there, especially with the struggles he's had of late. And you know what else I really like, Tarek? I love that Ovechkin touched the Prince of Wales trophy. I hate that superstition. Winning the conference is something that should be celebrated. You can't win the Stanley Cup on the same night, so you might as well celebrate winning the conference. I understand it's not the ultimate goal, but you've won the conference. Celebrate it as such. It is an accomplishment.
My favorite gif of the night was Ovi picking up the trophy and skating back towards his teammates, and Brooks Orpik, like a embarrassed father, just kind of mouth off to the side, put it back. And Ovi, for a second, said, oh, crap. Dad just said, put it back. And he started skating back. And then he kind of remembered, wait a minute, I'm the captain. I can do whatever I want. But it was so funny how Brooks just kind of out of the side of his mouth, put it back. And for a second, he contemplated, Ovi contemplated putting it back. I'm the same way. I mean, look, wearing different underwear or the same tie or not mentioning shutout. And look, jinxes are stupid. Superstitions are stupid. They don't really exist.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as luck.
Nothing we do will affect what happens on the ice.
Nothing a reporter says on Twitter is going to affect what happens.
Nothing I wear.
So, yeah. And you know what? I mean, if there was any doubt, remember Sidney Crosby did not touch. And the next year he touched it, and they went on to win it. And he's touched it ever since. So clearly, touching the trophy is a good thing.
It's fine. And you know what? There can't be a jinx because Vegas touched it too.
Now,
so they can't both lose.
I did get a little weirded out by Ovi carrying it up into the plane, and then 3 hours later after landing from Tampa, he's carrying it down the plane. So he's got to let someone else have it at this point, right? Like someone else has to get to hold it.
That's
it's not his trophy.
That is, what is it now, 13 years of pent-up aggression, and he's just not letting it out of his sight.
I'm sure it was like on the bedstand last night. Probably rolled over a couple times just to make sure it wasn't a dream, it was still there.
Yeah. Oh, that's enough about the Lightning and the Conference Championship. It's time to look ahead to the final and the Golden Knights. But first, a word from our sponsor. Welcome back. Tarek, the Caps sit just 4 wins away from their first Stanley Cup. But the Vegas Golden Knights stand in their way. Tarek, tell me about the Golden Knights.
Well, they are constructed of 20 players who were told by their current teams that we like you, but not that much. You're okay, but because of the way the rules are constructed, we're not going to protect you in the expansion draft. But look, don't let that be a reflection of how we feel about you. You're special in your own way, but these other guys are more special. So we're going to protect them, and we're not going to protect you. And hopefully they don't take you and you come back to us next year. But if they do, good luck in Vegas. I don't know about you, but if I'm a player, that puts a chip on my shoulder. That pisses me off a little bit.
For professional athletes who look for something to motivate them at all times, of course.
No doubt. So begin there. They are constructed of basically every NHL team's 8th or 9th best player, and in some cases slightly better, just because the GM made a dumb mistake and put a better player unprotected.
Florida.
Yeah, Florida. Yeah. Big mistake. So let's start with that baseline. So this is an annoyed group of humans that came together.
Yep.
When you come to an expansion team, there's no expectations. There's no pecking order. It's all brand new. You're all figuring it out at the same time. So you build a bond, a chemistry that maybe isn't present with other teams that have been together for a while, and there's this clique of guys and that clique of guys,
right,
and this guy doesn't really like that guy, and this goalie doesn't really trust his backup, and there's all sorts of stuff going on. There's none of that because these guys are just meeting each other, and they might have met each other in juniors or in national teams or whatever, and surely they've played against each other, but there was no preconceived notions or, you know, like I said, totem pole. So they kind of figured things out on their own at the same time together, and that built a very strong team bond.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they were built, they are basically 3 second lines, a good third line, 2 second pairs, and a good third pair, and their goaltender is a number one.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he was a first overall draft pick.
Yes, he was.
So... And their coach is another guy who's pissed off. He was left on the curb.
He was literally
left on a curb the previous year.
He was getting the pictures of him getting a taxi ride out of the thing.
So you've got guys who are – so it's not like, you know, expansion teams like the Columbus Blue Jackets and the Nashville Predators who had absolute garbage to start off with. I mean, there was no chance those teams were winning. These guys started off with a very good, deep veteran team. So you put all that together, a team that came together because it had to, and like I said, they were starting from scratch. Good depth, good coaching, in a new building with a great atmosphere.
Those pregame shows are phenomenal.
They're so phenomenally cheesy.
they're
just Vegas. It's Vegas.
I cannot
it's
wait
Vegas
for the Capitals
cheesy.
One.
It's Vegas cheesy, which is awesome. You go to Vegas, you know it's going to be cheesy.
Mm-hmm.
But you go in with that expectation, so you're not disappointed. You're like, that looked really expensive and thorough, and it was huge and loud, but it was kind of cheesy.
Yeah.
So That's before I even get into how they play. They come at you in waves of attack. I mean, because they have, there's no huge drop off from the first to the second to the third to the fourth lines, and they're all fast as all get out. Even the D-man, I mean, like, everyone knows Nate Schmidt. I mean, when he gets the puck, he's a one-man breakout going 100 miles an hour the other way. Yep. Everyone on that team is fast. And then you got a goaltender who's got a .950 save percentage and a sub-2 goals against average, and that's why they're in the final.
Yeah.
So the Caps have their work cut out for them, but you know what? The Caps have that certain something too, man.
Oh, yes, they do.
This is going to be a great, great series. Looking forward to it.
This is going
to
be great. You touched on one of the big things. They took the best players they had available to them. But one thing they didn't get those fourth line guys. They didn't get those fringe guys, those guys who could be in and out of the lineup, the healthy scratches. So you cannot take a shift off against this team because, as you said, there's no real drop off. They may not have a true number one line, although it's certainly established itself, but there's no real drop off to, there's no distinct, defined fourth line there. You have to be ready every single shift because there's no drop-off on this team.
It's not big.
And they are incredibly fast. It's a very interesting contrast between the Vegas Golden Knights and the Tampa Bay Lightning. Tampa Bay had a superstar player at every position, and so you had to prepare yourself for that. Vegas, maybe you can count Marc-Andre Fleury as a superstar player, but otherwise they don't have any superstar players. They just have this team that is coming together and gelling tremendously all season long. And one thing, you know, hindsight's 2020, and there's this backlash against Vegas. Nobody, when the expansion draft happened, and you know this, Tarek, because I was obsessed with the expansion draft for a little while. No one looked at the rules. No one looked at the rules, and no one looked at the roster that they assembled and said, this is unfair to the rest of the league. All the credit in the world to George McPhee, for the players that he acquired, for making the trades and the deals he was able to make, and really taking advantage of the other teams overthinking it, teams like Columbus, teams like Minnesota, teams like Florida, to assemble this roster. And he did a phenomenal job. So anyone who's sitting there saying, well, the expansion draft wasn't fair, they made it way too easy. No. You may think that now, but no one thought that back in June when we first saw this roster and said, well, it's going to take this Vegas team a few years to really be competitive. So all the credit to them. The big thing for me, Tarek, is they got to find a way to get to Marc-Andre Fleury, because there were times against Winnipeg where Winnipeg was clearly the better team, but they just could not get anything past him. Marc-Andre Fleury has been phenomenal this postseason, and they're going to have to find a way to solve him if they hope to win.
Yes.
Thank you, Ty.
That's my hashtag analysis. I mean, yeah, the good news is they've had experience playing against them. They've played against them a lot, and they've also had some pretty good experiences against them. They've done well against them at times. So they've got the book on them.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to help. But he is the hottest goalie, has been all playoff long. Braden Holtby is certainly simmering. He's certainly warming up. He's got the match.
Yes, he is.
Fleury save for save.
Yep.
If the Caps are going to have any chance of winning this. I mean, in my mind right now, Fleury is my Conn Smythe winner at this point.
Yes.
When those ballots come down press row, unless something happens here in the next few games, he's my Conn Smythe guy. Unless Alex Ovechkin lights him up for some goals.
And yeah, but if this thing goes 7 and it's close and the Caps win, he may still win the Conn Smythe. He's been phenomenal.
He's been that good. Yes, he has been that good. So, man, that's going to be a good matchup.
It's going to be incredible to watch.
And it's Vegas, man.
I know.
It's Vegas.
I know. But one more note on this. If you could script a postseason where the Capitals could get rid of all of their postseason demons, it would look like this postseason. You start off with John Tortorella.
Yeah.
And then you go against the Pittsburgh Penguins, yeah. Mike Sullivan, Sidney Crosby, all of the demons of them.
And then the Lightning team that's tripped you up a couple times and you didn't really they were in the blind spot. You didn't really see them coming.
Not only that, but a team that half that roster is made up of players who have tormented the Capitals in the postseason.
A lot of Rangers,
former
five Rangers,
Chris Kunitz. And now you get to play Marc-Andre Fleury and George McPhee.
But also, I think that the two times the Lightning had previously beaten the Capitals in the playoffs, like I said, they kind of came out of left field. Like, that wasn't the team that was supposed to be the stumbling block, and it turned out to be the, what? We lost to who?
Yep.
That wasn't who we were supposed to lose to.
Yep. First time the Cats jumped out to a 2-0 series lead, lost four straight.
Next time they got swept after.
The next time they won, they beat the Rangers in five games and got swept by Tampa Bay. No one thought that was going to happen. Exactly. That was supposed to be the
year. So, yeah, they did exercise more than just one demon. And that's why, look, I don't subscribe to superstitions or any of that stuff. But I can tell you this, having covered pro hockey for the better part of two decades, there are times during a playoff run where you can identify a team. And I know we're only down to two now, but I think I identified this somewhere during that Pittsburgh series where you can go, that team's doing – it's playing different than it did before.
Yes.
And it's looking like a team that might make a run here. And the Capitals had that run. I'll be honest, I saw – start to finish, maybe two Vegas games. That's what happens when you're when you're covering another team that's playing. You know, like by the time you get home, you're in the last 4 minutes of the Western game, so you don't get to see a whole lot of it.
Yep.
They were very impressive, but the Capitals just have that something.
Yeah.
And I don't see them stubbing their toe now. I think they finished this job.
It's going to be such a great series to watch. We need to take a quick commercial break, but we'll be back to answer a couple of listener questions right after a word from our sponsor. Welcome back. Tark, two listener questions today. First one comes from Jerome Johnson.
Hey, Jerome.
He writes, with the Caps going to the Stanley Cup Finals, must the Caps have to win the Cup for Barry Trotz to get a contract extension, or has he already earned it?
Well, it's a great question, Jerome. And it's something I've been asked twice already today on previous radio appearances. And I will tell you this. Nobody in the history of professional hockey coaching has had a better contract year than Barry Trotz. He should be able to write down a figure on a cocktail napkin. And if he were so inclined, if he's having a drink with GM Brian McClellan or Ted Leontis here sometime in this Vegas series, slide that napkin across the table and say, yeah, I need four of those.
Mm-hmm.
He should.
Yes.
I think, to me, and this is not on any inside knowledge, just kind of, you know, reading the tea leaves and, you know, kind of listening to what other people who know stuff have been telling me, this is going to be Barry's decision at this point.
Yes.
Last summer, it was the Capitals' decision not to re-up him. I mean, how weird is it for a coach who has as many wins as Barry Trotz to go into a season as a lame duck coach? That was their decision. Now, what happens in the future? It's his decision.
Right.
He names his price. He names his whatever.
Yeah.
And you'd hope that they go ahead and win the Stanley Cup. And after, you know, cooler heads prevail and the emotion is settled, they go, you know what, we need each other.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good for you. You're good for me. This hasn't been a great year, you know, in terms of the head coach knowing what the future, you know, ahead was going to be. But the alternative is starting all over with someone else.
Right.
And I think that if they go ahead and they do the thing, I think that someone is going to have to come in and bring the sides together and go, look, knuckleheads. Look what you just did. I know you guys are stubborn right now, but you got to find a way to put this aside and get something done here. Unless things are so far gone that Trotz just goes, mwah, you're welcome, DC. Mwah, love you guys. I'm out.
Right.
And either rides off into the sunset or goes to another job. But, you know, and at the same time, Brian McClellan can go to Barry and say, listen, you've done a hell of a job. I had to do this to you to get this out of you. To get this gutsy performance from you, from a coach who's pushed all of the right buttons, I had to get you out of your comfort zone and do this to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you've earned it. You've proven to me and everyone else that you can take your coaching to that next level. Here's your extension. Congratulations. Give me a hug. Let's hug this out and move on.
Right.
Men are strange things, man. It's not always that simple when you got when you got men who are at the top of their profession, they got their egos and other things going on. But I can tell you this, the last point I'm going to make, if anyone is thinking about their contract extension right now, they're thinking about the wrong stuff. It is time to work. I mean, Barry Trotz, he's got millions of dollars. He's fine.
Yeah.
He's fine. Financially, he's secure.
Right.
He needs to worry about finishing. He's finally, after 19 years of coaching, he's 4 wins from doing what he's been trying to do for 2 decades. Worry about the contract extension later.
Right. I know there's angst because he doesn't have one, and now they're going to play for the Stanley Cup. And people look at it and say, well, hasn't he done enough at this point? Why? What's taking so long? You're exactly right. Now's not the time to talk about it.
Nope.
But the fact of the matter is that he's done plenty. I would be stunned if the Capitals didn't offer him a contract.
They almost have to at this point,
They have to. Yeah. They have to offer him a contract. But the ball's in Barry's court. If he's pissed off about how it was handled, then he could walk. Or he could say, I just want a Stanley Cup here. I'm not going anywhere. But it's totally up to him now. This is the risk you run when you let someone go into a contract year. They could burn you, and now he can basically name his terms. Thank you for your question. Last question comes from Greg Christian.
Hey, Greg.
He says, we've heard a lot of this postseason about the leadership of Ovi, Backstrom, and Kuzi, to name a few, and I'm sure there's good reason for that. Do you think also that the blue-collar guys, especially Beagle, Eller, DSP, Chiasson, and the D-Core, have led the skill guys as much or possibly more, showing them by example the brand of hockey that needs to be played to be successful in the playoffs?
I appreciate your point, Greg. And I think maybe, but I'll tell you this. Leadership comes from your top guys.
Mm-hmm.
It flows down, not up. DSP blocking a shot, that's awesome. The bench loves that. They get on their skates. They tap their sticks. They go, wow, that was awesome, man. That's the way you sacrifice. That's what you got to do this time of year. Jay Beagle doing that, same deal. But the leadership that really matters is when Ovechkin stands up and blocks a Victor Hedman shot.
Mm-hmm.
When Nicholas Backstrom closes the door after a bad period and goes, listen, boys, that wasn't good enough. We are in this together. We're this close now. Let's finish the job. I need you. I need you. I need you. Leadership flows down, not up. So I appreciate what you're saying, Greg, and I'll tell you, I don't want to take anything away from those grinders. They've done a hell of a job chipping in offensively, blocking shots, doing all the little things. But I really do feel like the leadership that has carried this group this far has come from those top guys.
Yeah. There's a narrative that's been written about Ovechkin and his leadership capabilities, and maybe for a while he wasn't ready for that opportunity. For that C on his chest, but we've talked to these players for a long time now, and they've all been universal in their praise of him as a leader. And at the end of the day, you know, you don't talk about the performance many players have when they put up 0 points the way we were talking about Alex Ovechkin after game 6.
Yeah.
And I think you saw that leadership there. So I'm not quite as hesitant to say, well, this must have come from somebody else teaching him how to do it. I think maybe this just comes naturally from the maturity he gained over the years. So I'm willing to give him more credit than that. If you want to have your questions read and answered on the next podcast, you can send it into capitalsfaceoff@gmail.com. If you like the podcast, you can subscribe anywhere podcasts are available, and be sure to give us a good rating and review. Those things really do matter to help spread the word about the show. Thanks, as always, for tuning in. Guys, we have a Stanley Cup final coming up. The Capitals are going to be competing for the Stanley Cup. It is incredible. Who thought we would ever get here? We will have a preview pod. I know this was sort of a preview, but we will have some previews with our prediction before the final, so you won't have to wait until Game 2 to hear our next podcast. We will have one before Game 1. Thanks for tuning in. As always, for Tariq El-Bashir, this is JJ Regan. Now let's get the puck out of here.